Hello, prosperity thinkers. Welcome to the episode today that we're going to be talking about prosperity decision making. This is an interesting concept because, well, we're always around us with decisions to make, and why not make them through a prosperity lens, right, Kim?
I love the thinking. And since we know that the word decide means to kill, in other words, to kill off your no decisions so that you can accept your yes decisions, doing so through a prosperity lens enables you to make better decisions. And it's not an automated thing. Like, we still have to work at it, right?
We do. You said it means to kill off, and to understand the no and the yes. That right away, I think that simple statement is something that people might not even realize.
Yes. Well, let's take today. It's a happy Monday.
Yes, it is.
And it's a happy Monday because we decided it was going to be. And I'll admit, it's cloudy outside. And I've got a whole list of projects that I need to be working on, more projects than I have time in the day. You know, I could get frustrated with, well, the thing that I scanned a few minutes ago, I put it in the scanner wrong, so I got the wrong side of the page. I mean, those are all things I could choose to be frustrated with, but I have learned over time, all that does is dig the hole deeper. And so prosperity decisions say, choose the better side of that decision. Choose to not be frustrated by the scan, and just flip the thing over and scan it again. Oh, well, I have to wait while it goes through the scanner. Well, then meditate, pray, find something to be grateful for. I mean, come on, right?
Yes. So you're saying it starts even on the smallest trivial type of things. When, what does that give us? Strength, muscle, power for the bigger things?
And habit. Because if you're not in the habit of digging the good out of the little things, it's going to be way harder. And yes, the habit then, of course, leads to strength and muscle and immediacy. If we're not in the habit of immediately digging the good out of literally every single thing that comes at us in life, little, big, medium, or somewhere in the middle or the above or below any of that, then we're not going to be able to do it for anything. It's just the quote, how you do anything is how you do everything. And so digging the good out of something that happens to you, it's following up on the quote, it's not what happens to you, it's what you do about it, is the same thing as just adopting that prosperity decision-making process. And that's truly what it is to say, okay, today I am going to try on. And this is a fun way to start this work if you don't feel like you're already good at this. And of course, I feel like I'm good at it, and yet I still have to work at it every single day, every single hour, every single minute sometimes, and sometimes not. Sometimes an entire 2 or 3 days goes by and every decision that I make is from a prosperity lens, and it's easy and all is well, and that's awesome. And yet I wouldn't understand how awesome that is if I didn't have the days that are not so awesome. So to back up a minute, because I got chasing a squirrel there, I think, for a tad. This decision of the prosperity lens is so important because of what it does in the next moment. And so when the 2x4 hits you, when the scanner, well, I was going to say when the scanner goes wrong, the scanner didn't do anything wrong. I did it wrong. When you wake up in the morning, when you walk into your office in the day, even if your office is down the hall, it's literally every moment kind of like a bouncer at a bar, right? I've actually never been to a bar, but I've heard that they have these men out there and they're big and they say yes and no, yes and no, yes and no to the people coming in the door. Well, you can be that bouncer at the bar. You can be the porter at the door of all the thoughts that are just coming in left, right, and center, including the weather and whatever else you may have happened to see on your phone. Please don't be looking at your phone right when you wake up, but that's not the subject of today. So whatever it is that you happen to see, it's what you choose to do about it. It's what you decide to do about it, not only in that moment, but in subsequent moments as well. A funny thing happened to us recently. We chose to watch a movie, and we're pretty specific about what we choose to watch. We try to watch movies only, basically, because you can go in, you watch them, and then they're done. But this one ended up being a little bit rougher than we might normally choose. And I'm usually pretty good about when the movie's over, I'm done with it. Like, I don't even remember titles of movies. And Todd will say, you know, that one we watched last Friday. Like, no, I don't know what one you're talking about. I mean, if he tells a little bit of the story, I might be able to recreate the story, but I clearly don't remember the title. Well, for whatever reason, because this movie was a little rough, it stuck with me a few more hours, including, you know, occasional, like half aware of it at night kind of thing. And the next morning I was just like, okay, I am done. Normally I'm very naturally done with the movie, but I had to make a very specific decision to be done with that movie because the dark images that were floating around in my head just didn't belong there anymore. And so I chose to fill my mind and my space and my soul and my spirit that day, that moment, with all kinds of new, fresh images, which for me usually means just walking outside or playing with Emma Dog or, you know, doing something that can literally, like, actually put fresh images in my mind. And then as well as all of the behind the scenes sort of mental psychological parts of reviewing, which is really all that a movie is. And you can choose to review, you can choose to push play in your mind a different movie. And so that's what I was doing, is installing, choosing or deciding to install those other images.
A part of decisions and making a lot of decisions is the term decision fatigue. You know, I think people oftentimes have decision fatigue because they don't know what their principles are. Is that what you've seen as well?
Yes, it is an interesting term. I'm not 100% sure that I buy it, this decision fatigue term. Nevertheless, I will tell you that you're absolutely right. If you have principles, then making decisions is easier. If you know what you stand for, then making decisions is easier. If you've made some decisions ahead of time, then making decisions is easier. Like right now, I am on a really particular health kick. And I come and go on these things, but I have a very specific reason, right? My why is important. Does that mean no ice cream? No, it means one scoop of ice cream. Now, mind you, I grew up in a family where like 5 or 6 scoops was normal. So understand that. But I decided ahead of time that one scoop is what I was going to have. And I could have so easily had 2 or 10. Oh, okay. Not 10, but 2 or 3. So it's, to me, when you know it yourself, when you know it's important to you, then there isn't decision fatigue. And I don't ever, I mean, my mind has tons of capability, more capability than I'm ever using. So I don't know. What do you think about the decision fatigue word?
I think it does exist, but I think it has to be viewed from a different perspective. And here's what I mean. I had a conversation, I will leave out her name because it's a family member. And the family member told me, she goes, I just love paying my bills. And I did throw up in my mouth a little bit at that time. And I thought, she goes, do you love doing that, Spencer? And I said, I actually don't even think about it. Like everything that I have set up is automated, a bookkeeper that helps out. And she looked at me kind of like, and when a person decides not to automate or delegate certain things, then you have a lot more decisions to make on stuff that really doesn't matter. So that's how I view decision fatigue in many ways.
Yes, I think that's really well said. And I totally have to commend her. At least she is choosing to love the activity. And that is a biggie. And I will admit, I haven't paid a bill in like, I don't know, 25 years or something. I just am so, so grateful for Carrie, our bookkeeper, that handles all of that. And yet I still think about it every now and then. And I do try to love the activity because it's money moving, right? It's money going from one place to another that is in response to good that occurred or is going to occur, depending on whether the bill gets paid before the thing or after the thing. And so for people that are still paying their bills that have chosen not to automate, or it is weird, I have this one source of income that absolutely will not automate the deposit. Like, I mean, who actually deposits physical checks these days? Well, this company insists that the check cannot be auto-deposited. And so I absolutely learned just actually about a year ago, this idea of loving the movement of money, whether it's depositing money in or paying money out because you got something or you're going to get something. So I really commend her for that. And I encourage all people to automate their bills. The online bank paying thing is so cool.
Now, as we kind of round out this, you know, we're going to have this episode around prosperity decision-making, and there are going to be people listening in different phases of life, and maybe they've got some large decisions to make. At the inception of this episode, you said understanding what we say no about, but how can we round out and maybe give a couple of insights on those that are making large decisions in life, how they can use that prosperity lens?
I love that question. So I do think that sometimes the things we say no to are more important than the things we say yes to. You could argue that's the same thing, but to me, being okay saying no and being clear what you want to say no about then makes bigger decisions easier. And then I can't recommend enough quiet time and reflective time. And Dan Sullivan calls it thinking about your thinking time to enable you to make those bigger decisions and get clear on whether it is a yes or a no, or a go forward or a stay, or, you know, they tend to have opposite things, these big decisions, and really listening. And so whether you want to say you're listening to yourself, or you're listening to Father, Mother, God, or you're listening to the universe, or whatever you want to call it. If you have a big decision coming up, know yourself as well as you can by using things like the Kolbe profile, the Discover Your Strengths profile, even various personality profiles are super helpful. And then listen, and then make the decision. And I would give yourself a deadline, possibly a day before the decision has to be made, so that if you feel like you have to do the sleep on it thing, then you do, and then you let it go. And I think that's probably the most important aspect of decision-making is once the decision has been made, then let it go.
I'm going to supplement with one other piece, which is if you as a listener don't already have the principles of prosperity handy, like in front of you, something that you can read, then it's going to be more difficult to make decisions. So having that information and knowing what the principles that, you know, Kim is using, and then for you yourselves, having your own principles will eliminate a lot of those stresses. Where's the best place for people to get the principles of prosperity, Kim?
Well, as a matter of fact, as our listeners know, we just did a rebrand. And so the website, prosperitythinkers.com, has the principles on it as part of the pack that you can get by signing up. And you don't have to worry about getting on our mailing list twice because the system will recognize your email. Now, if by chance you use two emails, then yes, you will be on the list twice. And that's okay. It doesn't really matter. I welcome you to go to prosperitythinkers.com. You will get not only a download of the seven principles of prosperity, and there's an audio version as well. You'll also get a really cool book that we've written that has a money poem in it, and it's called Your Guide to Activating Prosperity, has the prosperity ladder in it from our very first book, and is a worthwhile piece to grab in addition to the seven principles of prosperity.
You guys have heard it here, the rebrand, prosperitythinkers.com, and you can get access to it right away. And our hope is that as you move forward in life, that you are able to use that prosperity lens, and as Kim mentioned, develop that stronger habit. So thank you for listening to this episode, and we'll get you another one next week.
Thank you for listening to the Prosperity Podcast. To take control of your money and have it work for you, visit us at partnersforprosperity.com. If you liked this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review.